So we have Linda, we have Shirley, we have Rio, we have Cynthia.
Everybody, please stand by.
No.
All right, Madam Moderator, we are ready and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Service District Forum, which is being taped by AGP Video and be seen on Channel 20, Slow Span, or the League of Women Voters website. Our mission states, the League of Women Voters, a nonpartisan organization, encourages informed and active participation in government, works to increase the understanding of major public policy issues, and influences public policy through education and advocacy. My name is Jean Canici, and I will be the moderator. The questions have been submitted to League of Women Voters and have been sorted into meaningful categories by a team from League of Women Voters. The candidates for Oceano Community Service District are Linda Austin, Rio Cordes, April Dury, Shirley Gibson, and Cynthia Ray Ploggle. Thank you for agreeing to speak at tonight's forum. Now, a few words about the guidelines for tonight's forum. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for their opening statements and 2 minutes to allow for the maximum number of questions and 2 minutes for a closing statement. Our timer will let the speaker know by holding up a sign when they have 30 seconds left and then a stop sign when they need to stop. Candidates, please remain on mute when you're not speaking, but please remember to unmute yourself when it's your turn to speak. So for opening, let us begin with Cynthia.
Hello, everyone. I'm running for re-election to the Oceano CSD because I want to continue working with residents to make our special town a better place for all of us to work, live, and thrive. As a lawyer and an engineer, I'm not afraid to ask the hard questions, do my own research, and make informed decisions to advance the best interests of the people of Oceano. I'm not a rubber stamp on the recommendations of staff, and I push for fiscal responsibility so that the money you pay in taxes and fees is not wasted and you get the most bang for your bucks. I've served as a director on the OCSD since August 2018. In that time, I helped to make the district more accessible to the people it serves by prompting the creation of OCSD social media accounts and the implementation of Spanish language agendas. Although I'm often thwarted by the current board majority, I have served as a watchdog to ensure fees and taxes are spent wisely by the district. On every matter before the board, I strive to act with the best interests of the community in mind. I've lived in California for most of my adult life and found a home in our cozy community of Oceano more than 3 years ago. From my old house on a ridge, I can see the magnificent Oceano dunes, farm fields, rolling hills, and on a clear day, glimpses of the sea, some of the things that make living in our town so special. My day job is as general legal counsel for iFixit, a small company with a big goal of showing the world how to fix everything. I had a long previous career as an aerospace engineer. In my spare time, I volunteer for environmental and social justice causes. My background and skills help me to understand sometimes complex issues that come before the board. I do my homework, and I'm not afraid to stand up for what's right. With your vote and with your support, I look forward to continuing to work for you to make our Oceano the best it can be. Please go to my website, cynthiaforoceano.com, to learn more and get involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. April?
Good evening. My name is April Dury, and I am a lifelong resident of the Five Cities area. I grew up on the Mesa, in fact. Second dirt road on the left when you went up Highway 101 or Highway 1 on the Windy Hill. What I'd like you to know about me is that I've been involved in this community, and the OCSD in particular, for roughly 10 years, probably 9 years. And with that, the reason that I'm doing it is because I care about my community. And I'm seeing some issues that are not being addressed, and instead things that are not helpful to us are being handled instead. So I'm going to read a little, although I can extemporaneously talk off my head, but this is what I put on my door hanger. So when you see this in your neighborhood, you'll know what I'm about. We deserve representation that believes in transparency and accountability for the betterment of Oceano. Representation that asks questions, digs in with research, and demonstrates a true willingness to look at issues from all sides in order to make informed decisions based on facts, education, experience, and common sense. When you vote for me, you are voting for a local with a career in the finance industry. I have been advocating on behalf of Oceano for years by attending many meetings at multiple local agencies, being involved with the investigation of ratepayer funds at the Sand District, and having repeatedly spoken up on behalf of us residents, and I am currently an Oceano Advisory Council member. All while, like you, being busy, renting a house, earning a living, and being concerned about my finances, especially this year of all. So together, we can fix the crumbling budget, the crumbling infrastructure, and the bloated budget that we have inherited and will continue to pay for in the years to come with the current and the past board. So please consider me if you want transparency and accountability at the OCSD. Again, my name is April Dury. You can reach me at april4oceano@gmail.com or 805-458-9703. Thank you.
Thank you, April. Shirley, be sure to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Sorry. So hello to everyone. I'm Shirley Gibson, and I'm locally grown and raised. I graduated at Arroyo High School with a class of 67, so go Eagles. I've lived in Halcyon for 20 years, and I have served on the OCSD board for the last 2 years. And I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. Rio, are you ready?
Yes. Okay. Hi, my name is Rio Cortes. I'm a lifelong Oceano resident. And my grandparents and great-grandparents settled here in the early 40s. And I've seen our community grow, and I've helped in the Oceano cleanup and actively participated in the Oceano revitalization project that Slo County is working towards. I know many of the needs that our community has, such as developing employment and business opportunities, increasing community activities to bring people together, and increasing cleanup efforts to help our town shine. We need to refocus on rebuilding our infrastructure in Oceano. As an OCSD board member, I will actively seek ways to locate funding to revive our parks department, as it is vital to serve the people of Oceano. Help to find a solution to the fire and emergency funding. I will ensure that our utilities, such as water and sewer services, are maintained at optimal levels with accountability to ensure our utility money is used wisely. I look forward to working with you, fellow board members, and public officials to help our community blossom. Thank you.
Thank you, Rio. Linda. Linda, you need to unmute. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Good evening.
Not a problem. Now we can hear you.
I would like to thank the League of Women Voters for sponsoring tonight's event. My name is Linda Austin. I'm running for re-election. I was born and raised in Oceano and have been a lifelong resident. My parents taught me about community service at a very early age, and I've been following their example ever since. My community activities include: I own and operate a business in Oceano. I belonged to the Oceano Improvement Association, and in 1980, it was the OIA that supported the formation of the Oceano Community Services District, our first locally controlled government in Oceano. I'm the president of the Oceano Depot Association, And it's a nonprofit operating and maintaining our Oceano Railroad Depot. I'm a member of the Oceano Kiwanis, and we support the Boys and Girls Club and other local charities. I've served on the Oceano Advisory Council and other boards and committees for Oceano. So 4 years ago, I was elected to the board of directors, and I'm asking voters to reelect me based on my contributions to the district's success, which include obtaining grant dollars to fund engineering and design work to upgrade the community water system. I will ensure that we continue to seek additional grants to help pay for construction activities. Oceano already has the best water supplies in the county, and fixing our infrastructure will provide water supply reliability for decades to come. We implemented the Oceano Clean and Green program and now have a 311 app that citizens can report illegal dumping. We provide free pickup of large items during the fall cleanup event. So currently, the future of the Five Cities Fire Authority is one of our biggest issues. And emergency fire and medical rapid response is absolutely needed for the safety and well-being of our citizens. And if I am reelected, I'm certain we can work out a solution to the Five Cities Fire Authority to keep Five Cities Fire Authority serving Oceano. So I ran for the board 4 years ago to do my part for the community and to build us a better future. And I hope I'm reelected to continue the successes that we have been achieving in Oceano. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. And now we start with the questions that have been turned in by your fellow citizens. And the first one is a general question. Why do you want to serve as an OCSD director, and what different perspective and strengths do you believe you will bring to the board? Let's begin, please, with Rio. And are you hearing me, Rio?
It appears Rio has dropped offline.
Okay. Shirley, do you need me to repeat the question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Why do you want to serve as an OCSD director, and what different perspective and strengths do you believe you will bring to the board?
I believe in serving the community, and I think I have good organizational skills, and I have knowledge of how government works. And I like to work towards building a consensus on any issue.
Okay. Thank you very much. Linda?
Hi. Well, I'm
good for you.
Thank you. So serving on the board of directors is something that I'm very proud to be doing. I have a deep love and commitment to this community. I bring a wealth of knowledge from past experience in the community, being involved in all kinds of events and projects, and I work well with others. I have a good rapport with all of our county, with our county supervisor, and with anyone that we need to, any outreaches that is needed for Oceano, things that are not in our purview that help the community. I have a good relationship helping the community move forward in that way. And so I'm just, it's an honor for me to be here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Rio, do you need to have me repeat the question?
Yes, please.
Why do you want to serve as an OCSD director, and what different perspectives and strengths do you believe you will bring to the board?
I'm interested in being an OCSD director because I'm deeply concerned and committed to this community, to help the community to grow. I've seen a lot of development in the county, from the county in this town. But I haven't seen the infrastructure to match it. We have a lot of resources available to us, and we have a lot of strengths in our community, such as cultural diversity, We have the dunes, we have beaches, you know, we have access to water, and that's something that a lot of other communities don't have. It also brings challenges as well. With cultural diversity, we also have language barrier issues. There's many issues that need to be resolved. And while OCSD board directors have a limited scope, it does provide us an ability to connect with county agencies and county officials, as well as the community at large. So I'd like to reach across the board and connect with business organizations, non-governmental organizations, and community members to make something bigger happen here, because we have huge opportunity for tourism. We have an amazing climate, which allows us to grow things that
30 seconds
cannot grow. So I'd like to see this area really shine and come together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rio. Were you able to hear the timer?
Yes, I was. Thank you.
Good. April?
Good evening. I do not need the question re-asked. Thank you, though. The reason that I'm running is because I do have experience in the financial industry. I have experience reading financial statements. I do taxes and bookkeeping for a living. So I'm very aware and comprehensive on the financial side of things and how to read it. I know another director has a legal degree, and so she can read contracts. I don't see that level of ability with the current board as a whole right now, and that concerns me. Decisions are being made that I don't think the board is experienced enough or qualified enough to give direction to the GM that is in the best interest of us, and I have that skill and that ability. When Linda mentions that she has rapport with the county agencies, I think anybody who's a district or director should have that rapport. There shouldn't be any division of you know this person or you know that person. It should be unilateral. If the board or the OCSD needs assistance from the county, any director should have that pipeline, not just one. And that shouldn't be a reason that a person is elected because they can get special favors. I think we need to elect the people who have the best interest of Oceano and the skill set to help Oceano obtain things. And I know that I have that myself. One concern that I have is that we talk about grants that we get, but that's not free money. That's somebody's money. And when we get grants because we are an underserved community, but we can't afford our water bill or the trash that gets taken away from our curb, then we are not creating affordable housing in the true sense for people. So without that, then the more affluent people can move in because we can't afford to live here anymore. And that doesn't do us any good. So the rich people will eventually earn what the low income people are getting from grants. Thank you.
Thank you, April. Cynthia.
I think I touched on this a bit in my opening statement, but the reason I'm running for re-election is that I want to make Oceano a better place for everyone who lives here. I want to make sure that rates and taxes are kept affordable for everyone. I want to make sure that people are heard. So, for instance, if they come to the board and say, please do something about fireworks, the board will listen to them and will take action. I want to make sure that the community is being served by its elected officials rather than the OCSD being run by the general manager. And special skills and experience that I bring to this, other than having served for 2 years already and being very familiar with all of the issues in the OCSD right now. I volunteer with Surfrider for more than 15 years, so I'm very familiar with water issues. I've been reading a book on the history of water rights in California, which is fascinating and quite twisted, but it explains why water rights are so hard to deal with here in California. And I'm also familiar with issues that will need to be dealt with, like climate change. Our sanitation district plant is on the coast, and our sewage lift station is also threatened by sea level rise. So those things are going to need to be dealt with in the near future, either relocating them or raising them in the case of the lift station. So as an engineer and as a lawyer, I have the special skills and insight to be able to understand the complex issues that the board's going to need to deal with going into the future.
Thank you. Thank you all for your really very, very succinct answers to the first question. And the second question is, the OCSD recently sent a notice to its customers proposing that water rates will be increasing, such as fire and emergency response, or the water quality. If so, in what way? Oh, excuse me. My eyes jumped to the wrong one. Can we take that and I'll start again? The OCSD recently sent a notice to its customers proposing that water rates will be increasing every year for the next 5 years. What is your position on this increase? And please explain your reasoning. Rio.
Yes, well, nobody wants to see their water bill increase. I believe that it's something that's going to have to happen in our district, just because our water infrastructure has been underfunded for many years. Our bill is a lot lower than a lot of other areas. It's one of those things that we have to fund it. We have to find a way to make sure that all the infrastructure stays intact. And at the current rate, it is not taking place. So I feel that we will have to increase, unfortunately. And that's all I got.
Thank you very much. Shirley.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, I believe you're referring to the 218. And basically, the water rates are going up because we need the funds for capital improvement program. We need to cover 1.5 staff members that have been hired in 2019. We have to include the rising cost of Lopez and State Water. And I know it doesn't make sense, but the continued low usage by the community still raises the cost of the rate of water. Thank you.
Thank you very much. April?
Hi, thank you. I'm on the face of it opposed to the water increase. More so than the water increase that I'm opposed to how little the public was able to participate in this. There was not any committee for the public to participate in for a water rate increase study. In the past, the board has had committees with the public, budget committees, et cetera. They just stopped doing that. And so the public doesn't get as much say as they used to have, for one. And for two, the current general manager just recently, if not the last meeting and the meeting before that, said the last rate increase was, and I quote him, a knee-jerk reaction. I don't want water rate increases based on knee-jerk reactions. I don't think that the board should allow that to be said without any question whatsoever. So here we are 5 years later with another rate increase, and again, there's really no explanation of why we need it. If we saved our water from the drought and then we used more water, then the drought rate would have increased our revenue because we were using more because we stopped acting like we were in a drought. But there's really no explanation of why now, except if you look at the fact that the citizens denied the budget for the fire department, and the board decided to put us into deficit spending. And now all of a sudden we have this water money or other money that's moved over to the fire fund that they couldn't raise the rate because we said no. And now all of a sudden our water rate gets raised instead. And that Shirley Gibson is on almost, I think, all the water committees. I just expected a better answer from her. Thank you.
Thank you, April. Cynthia.
First, let me say, if I didn't think that this rate increase was justified and necessary, I would not have voted for it. But I saw all the evidence of the need for this increase, which is available on the OCSD website, if anyone wants to take a look at our past meeting agendas on this topic. It's necessary for two reasons. First of all, the amount that the OCSD is charging for water after the temporary drought increase expires this year will not cover the cost of delivering that water service. So we need to cover the costs of providing water to the people of Oceano. And the other reason, as Rio mentioned, is that we have a lot of aging infrastructure in Oceano. Our pipes are old. Many of them are undersized. They're very narrow diameter. So if there's a fire, the fire department's not getting a fast enough water flow out of the fire hydrants, which is a danger to the homes and businesses in that area. So we need to upgrade that infrastructure, make sure that fire service water is adequate, make sure that leaking pipes are fixed so we're not wasting water, and then also make sure that we're charging what we need to charge to cover our costs of delivering the water service. Thank you.
Thank you. And Linda, do you need me to read the question again?
No, I think I have
it. I'm mute. I do.
Okay, so water rates have increased an average of 3.16% per year since 2015 for inflation. So I support the water rate increase because it is definitely needed for our capital improvement program, for our leaky pipes, our aging infrastructure, and also to fund the operations of our maintenance and other costs associated with our water system. The current water system revenues are insufficient to fund the operations and maintenance. And so our budget for the fiscal year 2021 revenues are like almost $485,000 short in covering our water system expenditures. So without increase, the drought rates stay in place and the water fund will run out of money. So it's imperative for the health and safety of our community to raise the water rates as much as, you know, no one wants to raise water rates. And what the community will get from this will be the improvements of improved health and safety, for improved fire flow, for all the pipes, the leaks in the pipes fixed. Sufficient staffing makes for improved maintenance. And we will have equitable rates. There is a protest hearing. It is October 14th. It'll be it'll be a meeting like we have. And I think this community has been notified and there have been notices. So if the protest hearing goes okay, then the rates will be effective on the billing period in November. And we can look forward to having the money to get our system all upgraded and keep our community safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you. All of your answers are beautiful and right to the point. And we go on now to the next thing, which has to do with the vehicular use of the dunes. So do you think vehicular use of the dunes impacts the services that the OCSD oversees, such as fire and emergency response or the water quality? If so, in what way? And what is your opinion on closing Pier Avenue as an entrance? Shirley.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to stick to the responsibilities of the OCSD. And essentially, we have the district has no powers and no responsibility for the beach. So I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. April.
Thank you. Can you just read the question in the beginning? I missed the first few words.
Certainly. Do you think vehicular use of the dunes impacts the service that the OCSD oversees, such as fire and emergency response?
Okay. Thank you for rereading that. I have to absolutely agree with Shirley. The OCSD has no jurisdiction whatsoever over the sand dunes, the off-road riding, any of that stuff, which is why I really pushed that we would get questions pertaining to the OCSD itself, because we have such limited time to reach the people that we are asking to vote for us, that we're now talking about something that has nothing to do with the OCSD. But with that in mind, I am very disappointed in my community and my leaders for using the dunes and weaponizing it to get reelected when the OCSD has absolutely zero jurisdiction over the dunes. As you can see over my shoulder, this is baby April on an ATC. I grew up here. I love the dunes, but that's not my role if I were to be your OCSD director. That's not my opinion. It has nothing to do with that. I'm here because I want to represent Oceano as an OCSD director within the jurisdiction that the OCSD has control over. And unequivocally, that is not the dunes. And don't let any person tell you that they have any authority over that in any way with the county, with the state, or anything. As an OCSD director, they do not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Cynthia.
Just to circle back to the question, which was, does operation of the ODSVRA have an impact on OCSD services? It absolutely does. In fact, the board submitted a letter to State Parks on their PWP about 8 months ago, maybe, detailing what those impacts are. Those impacts are increased litter from people coming off the dunes. They are sometimes issues with fire trucks getting out of our station to head north on Highway 1 if the traffic is really backed up from people going out to the dunes. We also have a sewage lift station on Pier Avenue, and our local hazard mitigation plan detailed that the operation of the Pier Avenue vehicle ramp puts that infrastructure as well as homes and businesses in the Pier Avenue area at increased risk from sea level rise and tsunamis, because so much sand has been removed by operation of that ramp that it's created a funnel for the sea. And that leads me to say that, yes, I would favor closing the Pier Avenue entrance, because we need to protect our homes, businesses, and important infrastructure in that area. The four dunes should be restored. If you go down to the end of Pier Avenue, you can look and see on either side of Pier Avenue, the dunes are fairly high, but there's a big divot in the sand from where people drive down out onto the beach. So those four dunes need to be restored because they protect our community from the sea, from sea level rise, and from potential tsunamis. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda.
First off, I do want to agree with Shirley and April that that is not in our purview. However, I would like to add that April's speculation that people are running is on the board saying that they want to keep the dunes open is not true. Now, I have never said that. However, I do have a lot of support from the citizens of Oceano and the area, on the voters in Oceano that have lived here forever, for years and years, and enjoy the recreation at the Oceano Dunes. So I obviously do not think that my board seat on the Oceano Community Services District has anything to do other than just being, you know, it's part of our community. It's part of our livelihood. It's part of what our residents have done for decades and years, and they enjoy doing, and they want to continue doing. So I don't favor a close of the Pier Avenue. People are handicapped. They need to get on that beach. There's lots of talk about maybe there'd be a southern access, which I think would help a lot with the congestion, which I would wholeheartedly support a southern access, but never the closure of Pier Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rio.
Yes, I'd have to reiterate that OCSD does not have any authority over the Oceano Dunes. Unfortunately, we get a lot of the pollution, a lot of the sand. We don't get the financial incentives that Pismo, for example, enjoys from the Oceano Dunes recreation. I would favor closing the Pier Avenue ramp if there was a southern entrance open. I don't see an end in sight as far as people playing on the dunes. I would favor a change in the culture because it is a fragile ecosystem. I'd like to see people using more passive means such as hiking, sandboarding, things of that nature. But it takes time to change culture. And at this point, it does affect our fire services. It does affect the groundwater quality to some degree. But we also get a lot of the sand blowing in and the litter blowing in. So I'd love to see us get some kind of economic incentive out of people going to the dunes, and there's opportunities for businesses.
30 seconds.
For businesses to take advantage of that opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you very much. All of you had really wonderful responses to that question. And when it came in, I thought, well, I was anxious to hear what you had to say also. So we are now to our fourth question, and we'll begin with April. And the question is, what specific plans do you have to enhance the park and recreation facilities in Oceano over the next 2 years?
Over the next 2 years, we're rather limited because, as we all know, things go through a process. And the OCSD is no different. There's a process to make change within our government. Even though this is a vital services district, it still requires a process. So I can't say that there would be dramatic change in 2 years, but my long-term goal is, in particular, the county has been providing this, a plan to revitalize the area. And while they're not adding a park per se, what they would like to do is add planters and visual enhancements to our downtown corridor. And I think that that's something that should be brought under the wing of the OCSD and brought into and created and bring back the dormant Parks Department that Oceano is dealing with right now. So that's one of the immediate things I'd like to do, but it's going to take time for that to be implemented. But I think that's a wonderful way to make Oceano attractive visually, aesthetically, lift spirits in the community when you see flags waving and you see banners and you see beautifully bright flowers hanging from planters, from streetlights. Very similar to maybe the village of Arroyo Grande if we were going to borrow an idea from a neighbor. Something along those lines where we would make it Oceano specific, but we have that ability with this revitalization plan that's coming down the pipeline. So that's one thing that in terms of our dormant parks, I've given some thought about, and I'm really excited to see come to fruition under any board, honestly. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me. Cynthia.
Yes, when I joined the board 2 years ago, the Parks and Recreation Program was completely dormant. But in looking over the contract that the OCSD has with renting the community center to Lucy Amar School District, I found that the district had retained 120 hours for free use of that rec center. And that was then made available to local community groups, anyone who wanted to provide free or low cost recreational services to the community of Oceano. So that is something that I did during my tenure so far. Into the future, I would like, if the board has the will for it, the new board next year, to direct staff to investigate grant funding that we might obtain to activate a more serious parks and recreation program like some of the other local communities have with some scheduled classes. And also look for opportunities to develop some vacant land into parks in our community. Oceano is determined by the state to be critically underserved for parks. You're supposed to have a certain amount of parkland per person, and we are well below that with just the one small park that we have on the west side of Highway 1. So I would like to have staff working on that as one of their priorities to find grant funding so that we can provide more parks and rec opportunities to the community.
Thank you. Linda.
Yeah, parks and recreation is something that, of course, we all would love to see more of in Oceano. Unfortunately, our budget has no money allotted to that right now. The revitalization program is a really positive step for the front street of Oceano. I'm looking forward to those improvements. We have talked with the county on maybe addressing some of the drainage basins in Oceano and making them into passive parks, or like even a dog park, you know, if we could get something up in town. So, or finding some property that we could purchase. So it's something that's always on our radar, and we always would love to see it happen. So hopefully in the near future or the long term, I'd love to see a park on the east side of Oceano. We have a beautiful park down at the lagoon. It has basketball courts. And there is we have been talking with the director of parks about upgrading the basketball diamonds and putting in maybe a horseshoe thing. So that's something that's in the works. They say they do have a plan for that in the near future when the money's available. So other than that, I think, you know, we would all love to see more parks or another big park up in town, or small pocket parks would even be something nice too. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you. Real.
Yeah, I'd actually really like to see something happen with this. There's been, although we had a park on the east side of the tracks, unfortunately the community center was built on that land. So a large part of the community doesn't have access to that unless they drive to the park down by the lagoon. There are opportunities. There's areas that we can utilize, as was stated. There's some drainage areas that could be potentially utilized. I'd love to see us purchase some land. There's vacant lots that have been sitting vacant for years that could at least be something like community garden, which I'd love to see go in. A lot of people use the levee to get down to the beach because it's the safest way to get down there. Although it's somewhat frowned upon, people use it, and it's a beautiful park-like area and safe area to get down to the beach. So I'd love to see that actually enhanced in some way to be more bike friendly. I know that they have improved it a lot in the last 6 months. They've been doing a lot of work down there in the Rio Grande Creek. So that's one opportunity that people even from Rio Grande could walk all the way to the beach uninhibited by vehicles.
30 seconds.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rio. Shirley.
Thank you.
Well, it is all about the funding. In 1989, the Oceana community did take a vote on whether to raise additional taxes to fund parks and recreation, and it was turned down 2-1. And at this point, you know, maybe there's there'd be a grassroots effort or something, but I think that our general manager is going to be focused on grant writing for our capital improvements program, because that's been identified as costing $4 million. And I think the most effective way to proceed to receive Parks and Recreation would be somehow joining forces with the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. And that completes our, our fourth question, and going on to the next question. The OCSD meetings are usually poorly attended by the public. What do you believe is needed to help engage Oceana residents in our meetings? Cynthia.
This is something I've been struggling with since I joined the board, how to increase public participation in the process, because the board serves as the representatives of the people of Oceano. So we need to hear from the people of Oceano to inform our decisions. So we're not making them in a vacuum or just based on our own experiences and what we think is best. So as I mentioned earlier, I did get the district to start printing agendas in Spanish and making those available for people who might be more comfortable reading that in Spanish. But there's still a long way to go. When we were meeting in person, some people with hearing impairments had trouble understanding what people were saying at the meeting because the acoustics are very bad in the boardroom. So that's something that needs to be improved, as well as just more outreach and more accessibility for people more comfortable conversing in Spanish or who might have other needs that are not being addressed by holding the meetings the way that they are. And currently we're highly technologically dependent using Zoom. And I think that's knocking out participation of a lot of folks who don't have the technology or aren't comfortable with that sort of a platform. So it's something that is always on my mind, and I'm always looking out for areas where we could improve. And I'm definitely open to ideas. I'm not sure who asked the question, but if that person has some thoughts on it, I would love to hear them. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda?
Well, of course, now with doing Zoom meetings, it is really hard for people that don't have the abilities to get in on the Zoom. But back when we were meeting in the boardroom, people don't come to the meetings if they're happy, is what I've always learned over all the years. If they're happy with what the community's doing, they don't come to the meetings. But when they're not happy, when they have a certain issue, a particular issue, then they're there at the meetings. And we invested, you know, years ago in the AGP, so the video, so people can watch the meetings. And I know a lot of people, people are busy nowadays. They go to work, they come home, they don't want to have to go to a meeting in the evening time. So they watch it on TV. And that's been a really good way to get it out to the public. And like I said, if they're unhappy, they'll be there. And I think our residents are pretty happy with what's happening in our community right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Rio.
Yeah, I'd actually really like to see some kind of community outreach, or be one of those people to actually reach out to the community and help connect people who want to make a difference but don't know how. And I'd love to see a collaborative effort by concerned community members so that when issues do come up, and there are many issues to be dealt with, that we can actually work on it collectively and brainstorm, come up with ideas, because the OCSD, while it's great as an organization doing what it does, it is limited in scope. And that's where we need to come in with other agencies, either non-governmental organizations or business partnerships, to help fill the gaps and the community needs. So I think OCSD can't do it all. And I'd love for them to be able to do it, but I think with current funding and what their scope is, not all of the needs of the community can be filled by the OCSD. So I would love to see, I mean, there's the Oceana Beach Community Association. That's been a great organization helping pick up litter and organize events. That would be a great organization for people to help join in and get involved.
30 seconds.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rio. April.
Thank you. I just want to take a moment of my time to let Rio know, because he's at a disadvantage. He can't see. He can only hear because he's viewing this differently. He can't see what we see. So when he's told 30 seconds, he actually has 30 more seconds in which to talk, in case he wasn't aware of that. In case he thought he was being cut off. Thanks, Rio. My answer to this question is, I agree with Linda that people really show up when they're not happy, and that for the most part, they don't show up when they're happy. The reason that I see them show up lately, or back pre-COVID, obviously, is because of the discord and rancor throughout the board members that made it so uncomfortable that they were showing up in droves in support of one side or the other. And I think that's why people are not interested in helping OCSD anymore or being participant, because it's so rancorous. It's so divided right now. And that is unfortunate. We are a services district. We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're not pro-flags or anti-flags. We are a services district, vital services. And that's what we should be working on. It's unfortunate when I ask people, what would it take to reach you so you understand what's going on? And they have no idea what the OCSD is. They think it's literally like getting a PG&E bill, that the rate goes up, they don't have a say, they don't understand what it is. And so I'm constantly advising them. And I think the OCSD could do a better job at that. They could put it in Spanish. When they do a protest letter, they didn't even tell you how to protest. They gave no instruction on what was required to protest. So how can we protest? These are the things that I, as a resident, I, as a renter, I, as a local advocate, I see these things, and I'm the voice. I've been asked to be the voice for the average person who lives in our community that doesn't have a building with their name on it or some archives about them. They're just average people, and that's what I'd like to represent. Thank you.
Thank you. Shirley.
Yes, and I don't have an answer for that. I've been attending meetings for about 10 or 15 years, and there is a lack of participation by the public. And I think for the OCSD, there are so many people in the community that just do not even know that the OCSD exists. So it's all about awareness, and I don't know how we communicate that to people. And usually, many times, they come to a meeting after the fact, after something has already been approved or not. And, you know, that's unfortunate. So I guess the answer is that we keep working towards awareness.
Thank you. Our next question. What action would you recommend if the redundancy project bids exceed engineers' estimates? Would you like me to repeat it? Okay. Linda.
Okay, well, first off, the sanitation, the redundancy program, I'm not sure everyone's aware of that. That is the infrastructure upgrades that are going to be happening out at the sanitation district at the sewer plant. And, you know, our plant was built in 1964, and there's been few major upgrades since then. And the ones that have been done were done to meet the regulatory requirements. So we currently lack a secondary system. So like if one of the digesters or the clarifiers are down, we have to shut everything down to repair it. So the redundancy program means that we'll have a secondary treatment process. And it began in 2015. It's right now scheduled to start in January of 2021. So we're very, very excited about that. It should take 30 months and it'll be completed in 2023. And what it has worked into it is a flood protection program that will protect the plant in the area in the event of a 100-year flood, since we're only 10 to 12 feet above sea level. So back to the, if the bids overrun, that right now, that doesn't seem to be the issue. What we would have to do is just work with the contractors and with our district administrator and everything to work that out. But it's a very important program for the health and safety of our community, you know, for flood protection and for the maintenance of the plant to keep the plant in good running for all the three, you know, Roy Grande, Grover, and Oceano are the three communities served by the plant. So hopefully we won't have that issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, Rio.
Yes, the redundancy program is something that I wasn't familiar with until recently. And it's something that I would agree with Linda. It's very vitally essential for our system, especially for flooding. So, and considering that it does serve a few different communities, Arroyo Grande included, that's something where if we had to have it rebid, we'd probably want to ask Roy Randy to chip in, Grover Beach chip in, to cover that difference in cost. So it would just come down to bidding, finding the right contractor that can do it to the right price. So thank you.
Thank you. Shirley.
Yeah, I would just have to agree with Linda that we go back to the contractor and see what our options are.
Okay. April.
Thank you. I've been around when the sand district flooded and raw sewage backed up into people's homes down in the island area. Some of those people are my clients, and we had to write off the damage, insurance issues, etc. The Elks Lodge was affected. That was 10 years ago when a redundancy project was supposed to be in effect and wasn't. Here we are 10 years later, and it's only now starting to be worked on. So the first question that I would have is, what took so long? The answer that I would have to that is the fact that money was taken from the sand district, according to a grand jury investigation, according to a court case, according to a plea agreement. There was some activity happening at the sand district which depleted our income. So now we had to build those reserves back up, and we're behind the eight ball still on this. So if the budget or the expense were to increase, I would, one, have expected the plant manager, not the plant manager, but the operations, to know what was going on with the money. I would have expected that the board in charge of the sand district would be keeping an eye on this for the last 5 years that supposedly it's been under contract. And then I, as a board member, if I were elected, I would be very I would expect that we would look at the option that when a contract is made, that we could build in an incentive to finish either on time or before time, and either on budget or below budget, so that they have an incentive to do right by us with our tax dollars, our ratepayer fund. When it's not their money, they don't care. I care, it's our money. So that is what I would try to have happen if we were to go over budget. It's on the plan and the people in charge of the project to keep an eye on the progress, but it's on the board to figure out financial responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, Cynthia.
I'm going to come at this from a little bit of a different angle, which is why it's important to have a diverse body of people on the board so that you can get different viewpoints. I think what the questioner might be getting at is this plant, the South Slo County Sanitation District plant in Oceano, is on the coast. It's going to have to move inland because of sea level rise in 10 years, 20 years, I don't know, fairly soon. So how much money would we be willing to invest in upgrades to the existing plant, knowing that it's going to have to be relocated anyway? And I don't know the answer to that, where the dividing line would be. Certainly this redundancy project should have been done many, many years ago, and the plant's been operating this way for decades. So one could question, why now? Why now when it's so close to the end of its useful life there on the coast? So certainly if it was coming in well over budget, we would need to look at that and say, maybe it's not worth doing it now. We need to really get on the ball and find a new inland location where we can put this plant. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question. If Oceano's tax base could not support incorporating, would you consider annexation into either Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach? Rio.
This is a really good question. At this point, it doesn't. It doesn't fit the criteria for becoming a city, and it hasn't for a while. You know, it's one of those things we would need a larger population. We'd probably need, I think, at least 10,000 residents to become to have more of a tax base to become a city. But you know, Arroyo Grande has annexed parts of Oceano already. So it's something that that's possible, that has potential to happen. I'd love to see Oceano keep its identity, because we are a unique community and we have different needs. So I'd love for us to keep our own identity. Thank you.
Thank you. Shirley.
Yeah, I think that's the question. Who would give up their identity? In 1960, Arroyo did try to annex Halcyon and Oceano, and that flopped by a huge margin. And then decades following that, the 60s and 70s, there were many attempts to annex different cities and entities. And as far as I know, they have all failed. And so I don't see that would be an answer for us. And really, as far as cityhood, we have no tax base to attempt to do that.
Thank you. April.
Sorry, can you reread the question?
Certainly. If Oceano's tax base could not support incorporating, would you consider annexation into either Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach?
I am not a fan of annexation into an incorporated city. That's not what I'm looking for. I think Arroyo Grande is very unique and interesting. I think Pismo is. I think Grover is. Napomo is its own thing, which we couldn't do anyway. But Oceano's its own area and very unique and very colorful. I don't know how else to put it. I love my hometown. I am not interested in annexing at all, but I am interested in learning options. And I think any responsible business person, person in charge with finances of ratepayers, et cetera, should always be prepared. And being prepared is knowing what all our options are. Like when we vote to not have the fire authority, what were our options? Well, we weren't given any. So if annexation were to ever come upon the table, my request would be that we would learn everything about it to make an educated decision, not allow anybody else to make decisions for us. But in all honesty, I'm not interested in annexing into a city at all, period. Thank you.
Thank you. Cynthia.
This is something that I've thought about some. Being an unincorporated community and at the mercy of the county for many of our services does put Oceano at a disadvantage. For instance, my burglar alarm went off earlier this year, and even though there's a sheriff's substation in Oceano a mile from my house, it took 40 minutes for a deputy to show up. You know, if Oceano was part of Grover Beach and I called the Grover Beach PD, I'm sure they'd be here much quicker than that. But at the same time, Oceano is its own unique place. And I would much prefer to see Oceano grow its own tax base. If we can revitalize our community, bring more businesses here, really grow, then perhaps at some point in the future, we would have a sufficient tax base to incorporate as a city. But annexation is not something that the leaders of the OCSD would decide upon. Annexation would have to be decided by the people of Oceano. And if the people of Oceano came and said, hey, we want to join Grover Beach, or we want to be part of Arroyo Grande, and you know, the people in those communities were in favor of it as well, then we could look into how to make that happen. But at this point, I am not hearing the community clamoring for anything like that. And I'd rather just see us bide our time, try to build up our tax base, and maybe at some point in the future, Oceano could be its own city.
Thank you. Linda.
So in 1979, before the OCSD was formed, the Oceano Improvement Association did try to, they applied to LAFCO to incorporate, and the problem was no tax base. And that was done to stop any piecemeal annexation of Oceano that had been proposed. So I have to say, I firmly do not support any efforts to ask someone else to annex our community. We were formed, OCSC was formed, so we'd have our strong voice to stop these attempts. And, you know, I'm having lived here and worked here all my life, I know the residents here, and they're proud of this community and with all our uniqueness and our fascinating history. We have the most colorful, I can't even tell you our wonderful history, and our easy way of life, our quiet rural character is something that draws people here. So, and we have a lot in Oceano to be proud of that we've done since the OCSD has formed. Like, it was the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors who built that sheriff's substation, and the community supported that. And, you know, we used to have a substation prior to that. It was built in the 2002, I believe. But prior to that, we did have a little substation in the strip mall, and then it up by the post office, and then it was moved to Arroyo Grande. And the sheriff at that time, we kept lobbying, you know, we want our substation back. And he said, well, you build us one and we'll do it. So Oceano built it. You know, that's what we do in Oceano. So in OCSD originally started out in a strip mall there by the post office. That was the offices. And our meetings were held at the Seabreeze Mobile Home Park Clubhouse. So then we got the property, and look at our beautiful offices, our fire station that the Oceano people built. So why would we want to give all that up? And, you know, with all the assets we have, this community should be very proud of all our assets and our natural beauty and our dunes and our lakes and our parks and even our airport. You know, we have beautiful communities. So I would never think, as long as we're able, I would always keep Oceano its own entity. And if there was ever a time to become a city, then that would be a talk to do at that time. But as far as any annexation anywhere, no. Thank you.
Thank you. And going on to our next question, is preserving our dark night skies so we can continue to enjoy the stars important to you? If so, what will you do to preserve them? And let's start with Rio.
Oh, light pollution is a serious issue. We do lack certain street lighting as well, though, which it conflicts with that idea. So while I love looking at the stars, my concern is more of having adequate street lighting, which is something that's lacking in a lot of parts of Oceano. So thank you.
Thank you. Shirley.
Yeah, I think we need to meet the health and safety standards for lighting. And I agree that I think Oceano could use some more lighting on certain streets. Thank you.
April.
Hi. Full disclosure, where I live is a mixture of commercial and residential. So I have warehouse lighting in my windows at night while I try to enjoy my little beach house by the beach. And I live relatively close to the dunes where they're in agriculture. So there really isn't a lot of lighting out here except for this warehousing because of the zoning that was allowed for the county. With that said, the OCSD only has jurisdiction over the 10 lights that are down Highway 1. The OCSD doesn't have any say on any of the other lights. If we were to add maybe some more lights, then at that point, we would discuss the light pollution, as Rio called it, and that's a great term. In the meantime, just general lighting on Wilmar, 23rd, or any of those areas outside of Highway 1 and the 10 lights we have, the OCSD has nothing to do with that. So with this revitalization plan, if there is upgrades to the lighting, I would definitely make sure and care enough that I don't want light pollution, but we do need to care about safety and aesthetics for our community. But that's all the OCSD has under its jurisdiction of lighting at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Cynthia.
April is absolutely correct. The Oceano CSD has limited street lighting that it's responsible for, only the antique style lights in the downtown area. And those lights are not the sort that preserve dark skies. They do send light up into the sky. And I'm also on the Oceano Advisory Council. And when the county came to us, the county consultant, to talk about the revitalization project along Front Street, one of the questions we asked was, could they make the lighting style similar to the OCSD's lighting along that area? And also, is there a way to shade those lights so that they don't send light up into the sky? And that's something that they were going to look into. I think it's a good idea if we can do some sort of retrofit on the other lights that the OCSD is responsible for to direct the light beams down instead of all around and up. I would definitely be in favor of doing that. If this is something that's important to the person that asked the question, I would suggest that they make that known to the OCSD and to the Oceano Advisory Council to speak up so that your concern can be addressed.
Thank you. Linda.
Yes, I agree with everyone that there are 13 light standards down the front street, and that is all the OCSD is in charge of right now. And at the Oceano Advisory Council, there was talk of retrofitting the lights to make it more safe for people to walk down the sidewalk, but not cause the light pollution going up into the sky. So we do need more streetlights in the community. I know there's a lot of streets that are dark without lights, so that's something that we could look into or have the county look into. But right now, all we have authority over is those ones on Front Street, and hopefully we can get them retrofitted to make them safe. Safety is the main issue there. Thanks.
Thank you. This is a fun one. If OCSD district received $1 million in a grant to use in any service area, and you could make the sole decision to spend on any area, what would you spend it on? And let's begin with Shirley.
My first choice would be for fire protection, and my second choice would be for capital improvements.
Thank you. April.
I feel like this is a what if you won the lottery question. Within the scope of the OCSD, there's only so much we can do. I would love to have sidewalks and curbs and gutters, but that's not within the scope of the OCSD. So that's my answer, but it's not the right answer. Yes, we need infrastructure improvement, but that's why we charge ratepayers for the use of the services. If we got a grant, it would be above and beyond what the scope of the OCSD normally does. So like in instance, they just decided that they were going to write a grant or accept grant money for watering stations, et cetera. And that's absolutely fantastic. I would like to know some more research about it. We accepted this option, but we didn't really get details of what's gonna actually happen, what we chose. So if we got $1 million grant, I'd like more detail about what we could use it for, et cetera. But the infrastructure, everything the OCSD is vitally important. It's a vital needs district. So everything's important. I can't say one over another. Fire is as important as having affordable water so you can clean your kids' clothes so they can go to school the next day, or that they're comfortable, or that you can afford to live in this area and not have to move away from your hometown. There are so many things that the OCSD needs. $1 million is fantastic, but it's just a dream. And there's so much more we need to focus on and deal with right now that we don't have time for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Cynthia.
I mentioned earlier that I always do my homework, and this is something that I would want to do my homework on. Where could the money go and be well spent, and where does the community want the money to go? Because I'm fine with making the decision myself, but not without public input, because I'm a public servant and I work for the people of Oceano, and I would want them to tell me what they think the money should be spent on. And then also gathering information on where the needs are within the OCSD service areas, putting all that together in order to make an informed decision about how to spend the money is how I would go about it.
Thank you. Linda.
Okay, that's a great question. I think if I had $1 million, the first thing I'd want to do is get the infrastructure fixed. That's the main thing that we need to have now, so our water is clean and safe and going through nice new pipes. And the next thing is to have keep our fire department top of the line. Just put as much as we had into that. And I think those are the two main things within our purview. It'd be nice to get a location for a park on the east side, get some property. That would be nice. But I think first and foremost is our infrastructure and our fire department, safe water and fire protection, medical medical service, emergency medical response and fire, I think is another thing that I would love to see. Thanks.
Thank you. Rio.
Yeah, this is a great question. I agree with Cynthia as far as, you know, as a public servant, we need to know what the community wants that money to go toward. As well as, I mean, if it was up to me and nobody else had any input, I definitely want to see the fire and emergency department funded properly. And I'd also really like to see crosswalks put in, at least somewhere on Highway 1. So it's a little bit safer for pedestrian access. I'd also really love to see some park accessibility. Other than that, microloans for businesses to spur new business in Oceano, especially by Oceano citizens. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now we're coming to the end, and you, some of the wonderful questions that have been sent in by your people in Oceano. And I would like to have each of you spend 1 minute in closing. And we'll start with Linda.
Okay, again, I'd like to thank you very much for sponsoring this tonight. I just want to say I'm extremely proud of my hometown, very proud to serve this district. And I'd just like to touch on the positive things that have been happening. I know we all noticed that this year the flooding on 13th Street has been fixed, the big lake we have down at the bottom of the hill. So I'm looking forward to the first rain so we can test it out. The future of the Five Cities Fire Authority will be decided, and I look forward to positive results to keep our rapid response to fire and medical for our community. I need to say I'm support the Five Cities Fire Authority wholeheartedly. It's the cheapest service that we can get for the fire with the Five Cities Fire Authority. We looked into all the other options. We did look into options. We had many meetings over a year to look into other options, and it's by far for the fast, rapid response, it's by far the best. You know, right now our infrastructure is being addressed, our water supply is secure. We have programs in place to deal with the dumping of the trash, picking up trash. So there's a lot of positive things happening in town. You know, I love this town. I'd be honored to serve again another 4 years. So thank you very much. I appreciate your vote. I'm endorsed by the local SEIU, Local 620, the employees union that services the employees at the district, endorsed by the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson, and endorsed by 4th District Supervisor Lynn Compton.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rio, 1 minute.
Yes, got my timer on as well. Thank you again for hosting this forum, and thank you, community members, for tuning in. I look forward to working with everybody on and off the board. And whether I'm elected or not, I still want to be involved and help the community and work with other partners to make our town really come up. And as I've seen, it's really improved. Our community is really improved.
30 second warning.
And I look forward to seeing all the progress that's being made. I know that we have the opportunity to make this town really something special. Thank you.
Thank you. Shirley.
Yes, I want to continue our participation with the Five Cities Fire Authority and follow through with our capital improvement program. And I'm proud of Halcyon at Oceano, and I'd like to keep working on the OCSD. And I'm endorsed by the SEIU Local 602, Supervisor Compton and Sheriff Parkinson. Thank you.
Thank you. April.
Thank you for the opportunity this evening. Thank you to the League of Women Voters. Thank you to the community who asked me to step up and get involved on their behalf because they're too busy raising kids and families and running businesses, which I'm running a business too, but this is so important to me and to the other people in our community. Whether you roll your eyes at me or not, this is why people are asking me to run, because of the discord and rancor on the current board against each other, against community members, etc. So if you want someone who wants to bring you transparency and accountability and teach you how to do a protest 218 letter that no one on this board taught you how to do or included for you, I am that person. So thank you. I love my hometown. This is my hometown. I just wasn't born with a silver spoon. Thank you.
Thank you. And Cynthia.
Oceano has a clear choice in this election. Do residents want to maintain the status quo, supporting candidates who will go along with almost anything the district's general manager proposes without question? Or do residents want to elect representatives who will thoughtfully consider the issues and strive to act in the best interests of the community? William F. Buckley Jr. famously said that conservatives stand athwart history yelling stop at a time when no one is inclined to do so or to have much patience with those who so urge it. The entrenched old guard of wealthy white property owners want to keep Oceano the same because it's working just fine for them. A vote for incumbents Austin and Gibson and newcomer Foster, who didn't bother to attend tonight, is a vote for the status quo. On the other side are three younger candidates who work for a living, like most Oceano residents. And like me, Rio and April want to work for you to make our Oceano a better place for all of us to live, work, and thrive. It's your choice, Oceano. Do you want more of the same, or will you vote for change? Thank you.
Thank all of you for your wonderful responses to the questions that your Oceano citizens turned in for you. And the League of Women Voters would like to thank the candidates for coming this evening and sharing their views, and thanks to the Oceano citizens who provided the questions and to be answered. The League of Women, women are celebrating 100 years of the right to vote. Exercise your right and go vote on November 3rd. Thank you all for just a really wonderful evening. And I know your citizens are wrapped up in all the wonderful things that you've had to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.